This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Well, good Tuesday morning, everybody. I am Glenn the Geek from Ocala, Florida.
And I am Christy Landwehr from Aurora, Colorado, and you are listening to a special training episode of Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for May 20th, episode 917. This episode is brought to you by the Certified Horsemanship Association and Real Time Equine. Good morning, horse world.
Houston, we have a problem.
Ability equals skill plus knowledge.
I got a bad feeling about this.
Here's a safety tip for you from the Certified Horsemanship Association.
Missed it by that much.
How can I change this to make it better the next time?
Help you, I can. Yes.
Time for Training Tuesday on Horses in the Morning with the Certified Horsemanship Association.
Well, good morning, everybody. Thank you for being here at Horses in the Morning. Hope you have your cup of coffee in hand. We're going to talk training this morning, as we do once a month, with Christy from the Certified Horsemanship Association. Good morning, Christy.
Good morning, Glenn. How are you today?
Terrific. Thank you for coming back again this month. I guess I didn't scare you off last month, so we're good.
No, I enjoy this. I actually look forward to it very, very much.
Oh, good. Good. Glad to hear that. I'm not sure Jamie would say the same thing, but no, I think she does too. Christy is on here. She's on every single month, and we have our special training episodes. If you've missed the past ones, just go back to horsesinthemorning.com and search Certified Horsemanship Association, and you'll find all the past episodes there. Well, anything exciting happened in the last month for you out there in Colorado?
You know? Yeah, we actually, we did a clinic, and we had 11 in our clinic in Littleton, Colorado, and we certified 11 folks. It was really fun. It was 13 ladies, though, Glenn. There was 11 ladies getting certified and 2 ladies doing the certifying. So lots of estrogen, but, you know, we had a great, great clinic, and we really enjoyed ourselves.
Well, terrific. I know you had talked about that on the last show, and everybody passed?
Everybody passed at all varying levels, but yes, everyone did pass, some in English, some in Western, and some in both.
Now, this isn't like, this isn't like Pee-wee baseball, is it, where nobody wins and there aren't scores or anything, right?
I mean, oh, no, we don't believe in the everybody gets a blue ribbon concept.
Okay.
No, you kind of got to work.
Because I was going to say, if that's the case,
I'll
take
show it. One time. That's right. Oh, you would enjoy it. I still think you should do our driving one.
Me
you
and 12 ladies, I think I could enjoy that, yes. I think
oh, shit, I don't know. What do you think about that?
I can
Glenn running
that.
Amok. Oh.
I do want to do the driving one. I think that would be fun.
They are fun. You know, I actually, too, this weekend, we have a friend here who owns some Belgian draft horses, and we went up to his ranch, and my boys wanted to meet baby draft horses, and they were laughing because the draft horses were taller than they were, and they were like a month old.
They do have big legs. They have long legs, the baby draft horses. They're so cute, though.
Oh, it's so fun. So we really enjoyed that. That was a good time.
Well,
I guess
Jennifer,
that's what
I
just love about the horse world. You know, you can do so many different things, so many different disciplines. It's awesome.
It is. That is awesome. It's one of the coolest things about doing the job here, too, on the show. It's just we get to talk to so many different people from different walks. Well, Jennifer, who are we talking to today? What walks of life are we delving into today?
On today's Real-Time Equine Training Tuesday edition, the Certified Horsemanship Association steps up to the plate with Donovan Dobbs, who will be setting the records straight about real-time equine. And then next up, Ashley Hamill offers helpful advice on transitioning the backyard stay-at-home horse into a happy show horse. And then rounding out the show, Carla Wenberg with socialization skills for your show horse and training for your discipline. So stay tuned for the fray, folks.
All right. Thank you, Jennifer. Appreciate that. Now, as always, if you want to give us a call, if you have a question for one of the guests as they come on today or have a question for Christy about the Certified Horsemanship Association, give us a call at 347-637-3238, and we'll try and get you on as soon as we can. Press 1 when you call. That gets you into the host queue and lets Jennifer know that you're here to come on the air. Well, now, you have a conference coming up, don't you, for the CHA?
Yes, we do. We have our large international conference that we host every year in different parts of the country, and this year it's going to be in October, and it's going to be in Lexington, Kentucky, and I would just, anybody who's listening out there, you know, it's not just for instructors. It's for anybody who loves horses, owns a horse, wants to own a horse one day, and you get to ride in the session. So instead of your typical type of equine event where you buy a ticket and you sit in the audience and audit what's going on, this one we actually bring in school horses. You get to get on and ride with some of the clinicians. And this year it's kind of exciting. We're even having a polo demonstration that afterwards the polo club is going to allow people to get on and actually do a mock polo game at the walk and trot, we've been told. But, hey, that's still really fun. So I'm really looking forward to that.
I don't think polo ponies trot or walk. They just seem to run everywhere. So we'll see how that goes.
Yeah, true. Jennifer, very good point.
Jennifer's taken a couple polo lessons in the past. She loved it. She loved playing polo.
Yep, it was a blast. And I will tell you from experience, Glenn, when they put you on a good quality school horse polo pony, if you do enough things wrong, that pony, polo pony will only walk.
Oh, that's great. They go the opposite way.
Because it doesn't want to get whacked in the face.
That's right. That polo pony, exactly. Yep. He gets me up there. He says, I ain't moving. Sorry, honey.
Smart.
I often wondered about the life of a practice polo pony. It's like, oh, how many times does that club come around and whack him in the face? Oh. Do they put, like, armor on the ponies' faces when they're with rookies, Jennifer? Do they have, like, armor like the knights used to wear?
Actually, it's pretty hard to hit them in the face. Where you tend to bonk them is in the shins, which is why they wear those big puffy polo wraps.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. They learn to turn their head away because they see that mallet coming, and they just subtly draw in this head that goes the other way a little ways and then comes back. They're very smart.
Well, now, Christy, you usually have some speakers. Has that been announced at this point?
Yeah, you know, we have them all. If you go on our website, every single speaker is now listed. Our full schedule is up there. But one of our keynoters we're pretty excited about is Darlene Newman. And I have heard you all have had her on your show many times from Equitrekking, and we're thrilled. We've never had her at our conference before, so we're excited about
that.
Well,
let me correct you because you didn't introduce her correctly, okay?
Okay,
this is how it should do when Darlene, anytime you talk to Darlene, every time we talk to her, we address her this way, Emmy award-winning. Darlene Newman from Equitrekking.
Yes, of course.
You have to throw the Emmy award-winning in there first. Otherwise, she doesn't come on the show. So you have to do
all right. I will do that at the conference when I introduce her. Thank you for the warning.
Jeez, I hope she's not listening this morning. She'll be calling. We love Darlene. She's a great guest. She's been on many, many times. She's also a good speaker. So I think you're going to have fun with her. What's her topic? Do you know?
You know, she's basically going to be talking about just getting started in the travel industry and what it takes, and just show fabulous video of her and all of her adventures.
Oh, well, there you go. She has plenty of those.
Be really fun.
Every time she comes on, she makes us jealous about all the cool places she's going and been to. You know, she's living every horse girl's dream is what she's living.
Oh, without a doubt. Oh, without a doubt. And what a fun thing that they've done, and they've carved it out for themselves. You know, husband and wife team going around and doing this. I think it's just fabulous. I wish I had thought of the idea. I am quite jealous myself.
And, of course, we're talking about Equitrekking on PBS. So you can just search Equitrekking in your DVR, and you'll find her episodes, and you can record them. And they're always playing either new ones or old ones, so they're always up there.
And the one other keynote I wanted to talk about, Glenn, was Peg Smith. She's actually the CEO for American Camp Association. And I think in the horse industry, American Camp Association is not as well known as it might be in some of the other activities that you do at camp, like archery and rock climbing walls and swimming and canoeing and things. But about 40% of their camps across the country have horse programming. And Peg just does this great keynote on how we need to still have fun and how we can't just be stuck all the time inside our house behind our computers and our iPads, and we need to get out with these kids and we need to go do stuff and check out a bug and check out a stick and, you know, ride a horse and get dirty and all these kinds of things. So we are thrilled to have her coming as well.
Well, terrific. I just saw an excellent commercial yesterday. It's the one where the guy comes outside and gets bit by a bug and goes back inside, and the moose is standing there, and he brings flowers to the door and encourages the guy to come outside and play again. You know, the outdoors misses you is what the message of the commercial is. And that's exactly what you're talking about, and I thought it was a great commercial.
Yeah, it's so true. You know, my boys, we live on a little bit of acreage, and we have a trampoline, which, of course, gets them out. But otherwise, sometimes I got to lock them out. I'm like, you are playing outside today. There is no way to get back in. And I do. I lock the doors.
Put the game controller down and step away.
Yes. Yes. Exactly. But, you know, normally they are pretty good. But I'll tell you, there's days when they're like, we don't want to go outside. I go, I know, but you got to do at least a half an hour. You just have to. So go on. Get
you
out
know,
there.
What a change from when you and I and Jennifer were kids, when we didn't want to go inside. You didn't spend any time.
Opposite.
Yeah, your family was inside. You wanted to be out with your friends, and you never came home, and you always got in trouble for not coming back. You know, it was the exact opposite of what it is today. It's so strange.
It is funny.
Of course, they were letting us ride around town on our bikes when we were like 5 years old, and that would never happen again. You know, so that doesn't happen anymore either. Funny. Well, now
I'm really excited today. Oh,
yeah,
go ahead. I'm sorry.
Well, I was just going to say you have some. You teased me by throwing out an actor's name, Patrick Swayze. So I got to hear the Patrick Swayze story.
Well, I'm really excited about both Ashley and Carla, who are coming on today, because they are walking the walk, right? They are out there doing the horse shows, judging the horse shows, and teaching for people to go and do the horse shows. And I, a long time ago, showed pretty actively on the Arabian horse circuit, and I was 16. And I went to the Arabian Nationals. Actually, back then, youth was not separated out. It was its own entity, and then we showed with the adults. And I went down to Albuquerque, where it was held then, and showed in Huntsied Equitation Over Fences. And you know what? I did quite well in Huntsied Equitation Over Fences, and I thought I was, you know, pretty cool. So I'm at dinner later on with my trainer and Patrick Swayze and his wife. But, you know, it was before Dirty Dancing came out, just to age myself a bit here. And I hadn't seen Roadhouse, so I really didn't know who Patrick Swayze was. I had no idea. So I'm having dinner with him, and I'm chit-chatting all about me and how fabulous I am and how great. You know, when you're 16, right? Oh, yeah, it's
right.
All about me. And I'm going on and on and on. And he and his wife is very nicely listening and just asking me questions and spurring me on. And then the dinner ends and I leave. And a month or two later, Dirty Dancing comes out. And I called up Wendy, my instructor, and I said, really? You never told me who this was? And she goes, no, it was so entertaining. We didn't. So I tell people I met Patrick Swayze, and they're like, where is the video? Where is the photo? Where is the autograph? I said, yeah, I didn't get any of that. None of it.
Sounds like something Jamie would do. She's met all those famous people from her radio days, and she screws it up every time.
Oh, it was so bad. And it's too, you know, just silly, just absolutely silly. So then the next few years down the road now, we're talking, you know, another 10 years down the road, and I start working for the Arabian Horse Association. They're actually located here in Denver. And I started working for them, and I get the honor of giving away a Featherlight trailer. So I do a raffle for it. I have all these raffle tickets that I have to sell for the youth program. So I'm walking around doing that, and I get told I can go up into the patrons' lounge to be able to do this. And no one's ever allowed up there, by the way. Nobody. I mean, no staff. Nobody's ever allowed in the patrons' lounge unless you're a patron. So I thought that was pretty cool. So I go up there, and there he is again, Patrick Swayze. I'm very excited. At this time, I know who he is. So I'm like, hey, hey, Mr. Swayze, you know, 10 years ago when I didn't know who you were, you had dinner with me, and he starts laughing. He goes, my wife and I, we have never had a surreal experience like that where somebody doesn't know who we are to that degree. It was great. We loved it. We'll never forget that dinner. I said, well, great. Can I have an autograph, though? Please, please, please. Oh, so funny. So he autographed my program. So, you know, it took a decade, but I got it done.
Well, you know, that's probably true. You think about it. I mean, they probably do like going out where it's just normal, you know?
Yes.
Nobody's spooning over them, and nobody recognizes them, and it's just normal. that's funny.
So good. Well, and then I have one other quick story if we have time, Glenn.
Yeah, we do. Yeah, go ahead.
So my husband is the non-horse guy, okay? He's like, hey, you know, I'll feed him when you're gone, but I just really don't want to ride him or do anything like that. And he hadn't really been around him much as a youth. And so, again, I'm working for the Arabians, and I'm at their U.S. National Show once again in Albuquerque. And I'm working. You know, I'm working the booth, and I'm doing things. And he comes driving down to see me on finals night, and he doesn't come straight into the trade show. Nah, he thinks he's going to walk around a little bit before he gets, I guess, stuck with me. So he goes into the main show area, and he sees the green shavings all over the ground. You know, they turn the dirt green. He has the orchestra playing in the background. He's seen all of this, and he's like, I'm going to have a little seat here. So he has a seat, and in comes Stallion Halter. And Stallion Halter in Arabian world is pretty exciting, right? So the Stallion Halter is going on, and it is exciting, and they're running around, and everything's going on, and pretty soon the winning stallion leaves, and an entourage of people follow out of the stands. He goes, well, I'm going to follow. So he follows the entourage of people, and for any of you listening that have not been to national shows, and I think Arabians do this quite well, they basically rent American Furniture Warehouse. And they put American Furniture Warehouse installs, and they make it lovely. I mean, there's carpet, and there's coffee tables.
The Arabians do
couches.
That more than anybody else. That is not normal. The Arabians do that more than anybody else. They really do.
Oh, it's so fabulous. So yep. Fabulous. So you get there, and they're having shrimp on the Barbie, and they're doing all kinds of stuff. And John just, you know, helps himself. Nobody ever bugs him. Nobody ever asks him anything. They're just toasting. He's like, great stallion. He does a toast with whoever. There he is doing that. Then he walked back to the main arena, and he has some little old lady with fur on and diamonds on come up to him and say, so would you like to come up to the patrons lounge and have a drink with me? And he's like, sure, patrons lounge, sounds good. So he goes to the patrons lounge, he gets his free drink, he gets more food. So pretty soon at about, oh, I don't know, midnight, I'm putting the booth away and working with all my fellow staff people, and here he comes with this gal still on his arm to the trade show floor. And he is having a good time, right? My husband's having a good time. And the lady looks at me and says, do you belong to this one? And I said, I do. And she goes, well, he is lovely. He has been my escort for the evening. She proceeds to give him a little pinch on the rear end and walks away.
She hired himself
out. And I'm just looking at my husband, and I'm like, did you have fun at the U.S. Arabian Nationals? He goes, oh, if all horse shows are like this, I am going to every single horse show there is. Ah, yes.
He was hired out for the day. Well, that's a good thing for women to keep in mind is how to not have their husbands bug them in a horse show. Just put a sign on his back. For rent.
Well, the problem was that 2 weeks later, though, right, we have a real horse show, 4-H horse show. Dusty, no green shavings, definitely no eight-piece band, no patrons lounge, no shrimp on the Barbie. My husband comes, and he's like, forget this, and he's never been back to another horse show.
Oh, no. So obviously the question is, and we ask this of everybody, is your husband a horse guy when you met him or not? And the question was not. So that was the answer.
No.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's funny.
And
you know,
probably
it's
still
fun.
Not.
I need to get him on the Horse Husbands episode. He'd probably be funny to have on the Horse Husbands episode that we do.
Oh, he would probably love it. Actually, you should. Let me know. He would
right.
Get a kick out of that.
I got to get that organized. We're late in getting it out this year, so I definitely am writing that down so that he can join us, because I usually try and get one that's, like, totally not into it at all. So we'll definitely have to do that, Christy. I like that idea. He could talk about that experience at the one horse show.
Well, Well, what's so funny about that is he might have a totally different perspective than me, so you might get a totally different story.
That's true. We usually do. We usually do. Well, your first guest is ready if you want to introduce Donovan.
Oh, I would love that. Donovan Dobbs is the owner of Real Time Equine, and CHA is happy to have them as a partner and be starting to do some work with them. So we are thrilled to have him come on and explain a little bit more about his company. Hi, Donovan.
Hey, Christy. How are you doing this morning?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Good, good and great. Beautiful morning in Southwest Missouri, which is where I'm located. So I didn't know how you want to work this, or just answer questions, or tell a little bit about our company.
Yeah. Okay. You know what I would love to do? Go ahead and let us know how it got started, and then let us know a little bit more about it, and how people that are listening can get involved and find out more about it.
Sure, absolutely. It actually started, the idea came from a good friend of mine. We went to high school, named Jackie Hewitt. He's a team roper and lives in Oklahoma, which is where I am from originally. He kind of came up with the idea because, being a team roper, you're traveling around and you don't always have your papers, or you get in a truck. You know, team ropers are bad about, buddy, get in my truck, come on, come with me. And you leave your Coggins or your health certificates in your truck, but you're in your buddy's truck. Therefore, you don't have, obviously, access to the documents that you need when you get to the particular show. So he kind of came up with the idea, and he was gracious enough to call me and kind of shoot me the idea, and we talked about it, and we formed Real Time Animal Records is the name of the company that we started, which ultimately became Real Time Equine as far as the business part of the equine aspect. But basic concept is that we provide basically access to your health papers, registration papers, any documents that you want to store on our site for your horses. We provide them anytime, anywhere. Through right now, we're just a web-based service, but we also have it's not really a true app, but it's an app on your phone where you can access it from your smartphone using web browser on your phone. And so that's the concept, kind of where we're going. We launched in December of last year at the NFR and kind of been growing ever since. Basically, you can find us right now at www.realtimeequine.com. You can go on there. It'll tell you how to load it onto your phone and how you get the memberships. We have a variety of memberships from one horse plan to if you have 100 horses, we have plans available for that as well. We have multiple ways to bill. CHA, Christy knows this, but I've, got certified through CHA about 2.5 years ago. So I'm always been excited about their organization. I know they're also partners with American Competitive Trail Horse Association. You know, they were one of the first to kind of see our idea and partner with us, and we're, continue to work with them and other organizations and we're kind of growing all the time. It's kind of a new concept because there's just nobody out there that does exactly what we do. And basically it's digital storage of your equine documents. We're looking at now in the fall to launch a true native app, which will be in the iOS Apple stores and the Android stores. We got that and negotiating with a variety of developers to get that going. Not enough. I don't know. I'm a lawyer by trade, so I can talk all day if you need me to.
No, I'm a geek, so I have some geeky questions.
Okay, sure.
So I have my pony standing out there, and I want to use Real Time Equine, and I sign up for it. What do I do then? What's like the next step, and what happens? What's the advantage to me using this as opposed to something else or nothing?
Okay. Well, again, nothing is, and you can have your papers are with you, whether you're anywhere at all. Again, if you get in a vehicle, you forget them. I've got a good friend. She actually went to a barrel race this weekend, and she forgot her papers at home. Trying to get everything loaded, had them sitting on the counter, and just flat out forgot them. So she couldn't, had to drive, 45 minutes, an hour back home to get them. So, again, as far as the geeky, what you do, you sign up. Again, let's say you have a one-horse plan. You put your horse in there. Let's say Spot is your horse's name. You put your date of birth, If it's a registered horse, if it's a grade horse, you can do your, you know, breed. Then you can just start uploading your documents. You can either scan them in currently, or from your phone, you can take a picture and it'll upload it to our site. And you can put, again, Coggins, CVIs, breed papers. You can have pictures of your favorite award that you got, whatever is on there. So once you upload it, then you have it accessed from your phone and you can show it. It's kind of like, you know, some of the insurance companies on your car insurances, you have it on your phone. It's the same thing. So the benefit is then that you have it with you all the time. If you don't have to worry about, I forgot it, or I left it in my other truck, or I left it on the counter. Also, our system also for Coggins and CVIs, which both expire after a certain amount of time, we have a system. Our system will actually send you an email and say, hey, you know, in 30 days your Coggins is going to expire. So then way you can get it renewed. You know, we all get busy, especially during show season. You just forget it. I mean, it's, you know, you have to have it, but you get busy, you know, training your horse, showing your horse, and you can forget that. So we also, that's a benefit that you don't have that you can't get anywhere else. Even if you just took a picture and kept it on your phone, you're not going to have that reminder. Our system also allows your vet to sign up and join for free, and then he can upload the documents directly to your account. The benefit of that is, let's say you got to leave to go to Colorado to a show, and I'm in Missouri, so that's, you know, 12-hour drive. Well, I get to Coggins that morning, I can go ahead and hit the road, and then my vet can go ahead and upload it directly to my site. So I have the Coggins, even though, you know, I'm not there.
That's handy.
So I don't know if that answers your question or if that doesn't answer your question or if I gave you too much information. Like I said, I can talk, so feel free to interrupt. You're not going to hurt my feelings.
Well, I can see how
I think that's why Jackie calls me, because I can talk.
Yeah.
Say what?
I can see how having the veterinarian be able to do that for you, because I can't tell you how many times I've had papers. You try to get the papers at the last second, and you have to make a separate trip to drive to the vet's office to pick up the paperwork, because all the vet has is a fax machine. And, hello, nobody has a fax machine anymore. So he can just pop it into your account, and because everybody's got a cell phone, including the vet. And that right there sold me.
Well, and what the really neat thing is, you know, also, you know, obviously the USDA's, which, you know, controls Coggins, you know, they're working on designing a paperless Coggins. Again, it's a government job, so it may take a little while, but ultimately the government's going to make the Coggins paperless anyways. I mean, that's going that
all
way.
We all know how well the government has done computer systems.
Exactly.
Yes.
Well, that's why we're doing this and not them. Well, they've been working on it for about 2 years, actually, and the National Veterinary Association has critiqued it several times, and they haven't really got it where they're happy yet. But, and again, that's kind of we're kind of hopefully ahead of the curve. That's, you know, everybody's using paperless a lot, you know, a variety of things, whether it's your banking, whether it's your insurance, whether, you know, we do a lot of things electronically anymore. You know, the horse industry is a little slow to change. So hopefully we're kind of ahead of the curve and that we're going to have the service once everybody gets on board and starts using less paper and becomes more digital. And again, that's the native app part is what we're going to be really excited in the fall, because then you'll be able to access your account whether or not you have Wi-Fi or cell service. Right now you currently have to have either cell service or Wi-Fi to be able to access your records, but we're going to change that in the near future.
Good. Well, yeah, that'll help,
yeah,
I think, because so many people are doing it by phone anymore. I know I do a lot of stuff on my phone that I used to do on a laptop, which, you know, nobody carries anymore, because we all have our phones.
Oh, especially as bigger the phones are getting, the processors are getting so big, you know, because it's easier to throw that in there.
You know what it reminds me of, Donovan? It reminds me of, like, when I go to the airport and I've got my boarding pass, and I've been braver these last few times. I've now actually used the United or the Frontier app to have my boarding pass actually on my phone. And it is. It's just so much easier than fumbling around as you're going through security trying to find it and then fumbling around at the gate. You're just like, here you go, scan it, go on in. So I think people are definitely more and more going to this route. And almost everyone has a cell phone on them, especially when they're going to horse shows and doing stuff, because in case they get a flat tire or whatever, they want to be able to call whomever to help them out with that. So I think
absolutely,
it makes really good sense, and we're excited about it. So thank you.
Yeah, and we're excited because some of the things we're trying to get with some associations to work on the check-in process. kind of help with them to kind of speed that up, you know, using our service too. So we're kind of hopefully get some bugs worked out on that. It'll be the next sort of where we go. Because, again, it's great for us to have it as the horse owners, but, you know, the show still has to check you in. And, you know, if you've ever shown horses, it takes a while sometimes when you have a whole line of trailers there. So we're working on that and actually have some aspects of our site are available to the shows to be able to have the documents ahead of time.
That's handy, especially the cogs and stuff. Yeah, that would be handy. I can see that.
Yeah, and right now, again, and the associations can, again, join for free. And so they can list actually a show on our site, and then they can have our members can send them directly ahead of time. Or they can actually view the records online just like I can. We're working on continuing to improve that so, you know, we get it how the associations want it so they will buy into us and hopefully, you know, continue to help us grow. You know, first year, we're really true the first year in, so we're, you know, we've been blessed that we, you know, people like CHA have listened to us and bought into the idea, and so we're continuing to talk to everybody and, you know, it's kind of exciting, I think, because you realize how many horse people there are out there in the world, even though it's really sort of a small, you know, niche market, but everybody's working together and trying to help each other, and that's the exciting part of the business because, you know, I've been in other parts, other business aspects of my life, and it's a little more competitive and cutthroat sometimes, and it's nice that the horse industry's not quite that way anymore.
Well, it depends which part you're in, I think, don't it?
Yeah, oh, absolutely. No, I agree. I assume it depends. I was a breeder,
kidding.
I'm sure. Where, my friend, I've got a friend that's a professional reining trainer. I know it gets pretty competitive, you know, when you're talking those high-dollar horses. You know, I can
right,
only
Donovan.
Look at it. I can't afford them. Okay.
Donovan, it is thank you for joining us today. It's realtimeequine.com. All the information is on the website there and the pricing and everything, which is pretty cheap. So if you got one to two, three horses or more, hop on over
Absolutely.
To realtimeequine.com and check it out. Get all the details there. Thank you, Donovan, for joining us this morning.
All right. Thanks for having me, guys.
Okay, take care.
Bye, Donovan.
All right. Bye-bye, Chrissy.
Well, and we're going to go right from Real-Time Equine into your next guest.
Well, this is great. He kind of opened up the door to talk about shows today with all of the show documents you need, and Ashley Hamill is going to be on with us now. And Ashley Hamill is our current CHA Region 9 director, so she's the regional director for the state that I'm in, Colorado and Wyoming and other surrounding states. She's an active trainer, instructor, and competitor at the local, regional, and national levels with Arabian horses. She is the current youth advisor for the Colorado Arabian Horse Club, and I am just thrilled to have her on today to talk more about taking your recreational horse and making it into a show horse part-time if you would like to do that. So, hi, Ashley. How are you?
I'm waking up to caffeine. How are you guys? Got the drip turned on, so the answers will get more intellectual as we as it kicks in. I'm doing well.
Espresso.
Exactly.
Well, I don't know if you heard earlier on the show, but I was sharing some of my Arabian horse moments, and then after you're on, we're going to have Carla, who's really involved in the American Quarter Horse Association. So we're just thrilled. You know, I was telling Glenn and Jen every month, Ashley, how we are so multi-breed and multi-discipline, and that's why I was so excited today about this show, because a lot of people start off just thinking, you know, I'm just going to have my horse and recreational ride it and enjoy it, and then one day they get the bug, that competitive show bug. And they go, you know, I think I want to see what my horse can do in the show pen. And then they say, well, now what? So I just want to kind of pick your brain. What are some of your experiences? Obviously, if you want to share examples and stories is great. But how do you take your recreational riding horse and start showing him or her?
Well, you know, I mean, I think everyone has their own sort of formula about how we get involved with horse showing. But I think, you know, I very much believe that there's a pipeline, not only as a trainer, but as an instructor and as a breed for organizations like the Colorado Arabian Horse Club, where we have to get people in the door. That's the first challenge we have in this industry right now here, especially in Colorado with, you know, the economy being what it is and what it is. I think CHA has that wonderful paradigm where we, you know, make it fun, we make it safe, and we make it effective. And I think you have to remember, I was just laughing because we're getting ready for a show that we're leaving for tomorrow, and I had a little girl out about 8, and I find myself going, heels down, da-da-da! And I'm like, okay, this doesn't sound that fun. So we do have to remember we want to have people coming in the door having a fun and safe experience. And once they sort of settle in and become more comfortable and more confident, you know, I think there's always kind of a natural interest in what horse showing is all about. Some people really don't have it, but if they do, you know, I always like to provide people the opportunity to do that. And I think that pipeline starts with the good first experience and then, you know, lessons and riding horses that they can build their confidence on, not overmounting them or scaring them. And once they kind of progress along, sometimes people buy horses. I have a lot of kids who show my lesson horses. So, you know, I think we try to create the beginning to end. I feel like, you know, we have to have that connection there to getting people to their first show by providing them with the knowledge we have. So, you know, if I have a little girl that's never shown before, you know, I might have them come down and watch a show where my kids are already showing or somebody's already showing so that they can even see if it's something they want to participate in. A lot of kids are terrified of public performance. So, you know, if you have a little kid who's not necessarily wanting to do it, it's a good thing for them to see it. A lot of kids want to do it, but they're just intimidated. So I might have them come right in the ring at a show that they're not even showing at, just to practice. You know, certainly our local clubs, I know CAHC in particular, has done a lot to make it beginner-friendly for people to show. I think the biggest thing is not taking a rider who's not confident to a show, not trying to train the horse at the show. I didn't invent that term, but, you know, I think I get questions. You know, people come up to me as a trainer, they're like, I think I want to switch to a curb bit today at the horse show. I'm like, no, has the horse ever been in a curb bit? No. So they use that as an opportunity, you know, to start retraining their horse. So, you know, I think, you know, being smart, as a trainer, that's our job. As an instructor, we know not to do that. You know, we know that we want to set the kids up for success, or any amateur, not necessarily kids, but, you know, we want to help them through that process by having our experience. So I think that's a big part, is just, you know, making it an easy transition and preparing people. People mentally prepare ahead of time, even with their budgets. You know, parents have a limited income in general, especially if they have more than one kid doing more than one thing. So, you know, I find if I can convince parents really that, you know, their kid wants to show, if I tell them the expenses, if I give them a website to go to and say, this is what your office fees are, this is what the hauling fee is going to be, these are what my coaching, and I give them that ahead of time, they can save and prepare. And most people understand that once you get into showing, you know, it's a commitment like ice skating. My gosh, I have a client who has a daughter who competitively ice skates. I thought horse showing was expensive, but they can budget for it. So I think we prepare them mentally, prepare them financially. We prepare them at home. Oftentimes, if I have a group lesson or something going on, you know, on a Saturday, I'll have all the kids, I'll role play. This is what a class is going to be. We're going to enter at the walk. The judge is going to call for the trot. We're going to reverse. We're going to walk. So lots of practice at home, lots of role playing like we do in CHA and our clinics. But I think the biggest thing is not to set people up for failure. You know, they may not go in and win their blue ribbon, first go out. And I like to tell kids and or amateurs, it's your first show. You're probably not going to go in and win a blue ribbon, but that's okay. You're gaining really valuable experience, and next time you'll be more confident and you'll have less jitters. And then sometimes they just go in and win, you know, spring champions. So that's the nature and world of horse showing. I think that's our job, to educate people that way.
I just so appreciated you bringing up the club aspect, because, you know, just here in Colorado, we've got, of course, the Colorado Arabian Horse Club, and then we've got the Rocky Mountain Quarter Horse Association, the Rocky Mountain Paying Horse Association. So I think no matter what breed you have that you might end up starting to show, to reach out to your local club in your state is a great place to start. So thank you so much for bringing that up. I think that that's really key.
I was just going to comment that the breeds, all of the breeds, you know, here, you know, are really making an effort, you know, to support the industry, And they're really making it beginner-friendly. I mean, I've brought, you know, 10 new kids this season into the show ring that have never shown before and horses that have never shown before. It's a very supportive environment in general. I think the opinion that, you know, it's competitive, yes, but people want to see other people get involved in their passion. So, you know, I find other trainers helping my kids and loaning clothes and boots and, you know, helping kids in the ring when, you know, I've got five kids, another trainer will help in and coach showmanship. So, you know, I think the breeds are really doing a lot. Academy classes, you know, fees are less expensive for that. They don't have to have show clothes, show saddles. You know, so it is. It's something that I really give the breeds a lot of credit for.
Yeah, and you know, if you can, you start off in lead line, right? I remember we had lead line, and then we went up to walk trot in our little local open shows back in California when I was there. We even had a parent lead line class, so then you could do halter with your mom or dad on the back of your horse, right, in some of the fun shows. And those are ways to get the kids out there in a calm, relaxed manner, or your amateur adult. You know, we keep mentioning kids, but I'll tell you, sometimes I think the adults are worse to take to their first horse show than the start.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I love that, you know, that we're not having to canter our very first time or lope our very first time. Because, you know, when you look in the arena and you see 10 horses and you go, really, we're all going to lope simultaneously? You know, that can be really frightening. But to know, well, I think I can trot simultaneously. That's okay.
Exactly.
So I think you're right. To start off in some of those classes that are a little bit less intimidating and kind of go from there is a great idea.
Yeah, I think that really is the way to build comfort levels in all. You know, I have a lot of ladies now. My partner does a lot of middle-aged to retired ladies who love the horses. They have the time now because they've raised their family or had their careers to come back and ride. But a lot of them don't want to canter. You know, they've had hip replacements or you know, simply just don't want to get hurt. So I keep laughing and telling our breed we need to have, like, senior walk trot classes because we'd have a lot of people in them. You know, we have to cater to all needs. But, you know, I do think we need to make it, you know, if you're not comfortable doing something, certainly don't, you know, feel. And I think we need to let people know that's okay. I said we'll have a fun show here and at the facility that I work out of, you know, we could all come out and do what we'll call a regular class and nobody's cantering. So, you know, I just think meeting people where they are is part of how we get people comfortable. If we try to pressure them too much about showing, not only does it not become fun, but it becomes extraordinarily intimidating. So I always reward the kids no matter how they do. Listen, I laugh all the time when they, you know, we have all these acronyms. I always say I'm LTBH when I'm in the ring, which is lucky to be here. If I've gotten around the ring and I haven't fallen off, I did really well. I congratulate myself. So, you know, I always tell the kids that and the amateurs that are getting involved because, you know, we have to give ourselves credit for having the courage to go out there and try it and just see where our, you know, competition lies. So
if I'm looking at my horse, Ashley, and I'm looking at this horse and I'm saying, huh, all right, it's an Arab or it's a quarter horse or it's whatever it is, that's fine. But now what's the next step? What should I enter in? Should I do halter, showmanship, performance, hunter, Western English? I mean, there's just so many things. Where do I even start that process?
You know, I think that in general, you know, going into any show, and I know, you know, trainers often get this, you know, I don't want to get a trainer. Sometimes just having a second opinion about your horse, you know, just taking your horse or asking someone, you know, for a $55 hour riding lesson or whatever, just to evaluate you and your horse. And it can also be somebody who's necessarily not a trainer but has had a lot of show experience. You know, oftentimes if I get people who come out, in fact, we just did a clinic, and they've never shown in a discipline like trail, but they really want to try it. And so they came out for a couple-hour clinic. You know, they brought their own horse. You know, we don't know them. They don't know us. And we just sort of evaluated it. You know, I went to judging school, I guess, several years ago through the Arabian Horse Association, and I was so incredibly educational. I've had horses my whole life, grown up with horses on a breeding farm outside Atlanta. So, you know, but even that, having said that, you know, the process of how judges look at things, the perspective, you know, on a card, for instance, if you're in a junior horse or you have a junior horse, what they're looking for in that horse is quality and substance. The horse does not have to be perfectly mannered like it would in an open class where the number one criteria is manners. So maybe just starting by finding a local resource, saying, what do you think of my horse? You know, what kind of mover do you think it is? Is it a bigger mover? Is it a sweepy stride? Is it a, you know, short-backed, little compact little horse that can really do great Western pleasure? You know, does this horse have a great brain? I mean, could it be a trail horse? You know, is it really quiet? Will it go over anything and walk through gates? And, you know, so I always think it never hurts to ask somebody who has more experience to tell you. And then other things that, you know, people can help you with, and that community of horse people, to me, is your condition of your horse. You know, is it fit? Is it turned out? If it's not, what the heck does that mean? You know, and how do I get there? Do you think I'd be better off in equitation, which is on the rider, or is it more of a pleasure horse? You know, is a really nice mover. Some horses, and I like to put kids in equitation classes a lot because I have a lot of lesson horses. You know, I show a horse that has a torn meniscus, walk trot. You know, she's sound at walk trot. She can't be long trotted. But, you know, so she's great for going into academy classes. She just goes around the ring, quiet, very pretty little horse. But, you know, equitation's on the rider. So you don't have to have the perfect horse to go to a horse show. I think people think rated Class A shows, oh, my gosh, I have to have this $50,000 registered Arabian. Well, not necessarily. I mean, there's lots of people who are taking retired. I mean, I've got three horses over the age of 23 going to a horse show. So these are horses that are great. They're seasoned. So I think, you know, always using your resources. And 4-H is one of those great programs. Certainly our breeds, we did an all-breed youth clinic 2 years ago where people brought kids and lots of trainers came, volunteered their time just to help kids get started and amateurs get started. So, you know, I think those are always things that we can be doing to help people get going and help them get their horse ready for it. You know, they don't know how to clip. They don't know what to clip. You know, do I use a 10? Do I use a 40? You know, what does all that mean? So that's where having, you know, also the website. I mean, people laugh a lot, but you know, if I have a question, sometimes I absolutely get on and Google, you know, how long should a such and such bridle path be? And the breeds provide those specifics. They're on their website. You can go, you can look up. Most trainers know a lot of that. You know, the way we show Arabians, the breed specifics to showing Arabs are very artistic horses. You know, people, I kind of look at them like a work of art. We highlight when we're showing halter or showmanship the delicate features, the archy neck, the big eye, the soft expression in their faces. So when we're clipping a horse to go to a show, those are the things that we're looking at. You know, I might use a 40, which is a finer blade to clip an Arab. For a horse show, we clip the face a little differently than they do in some other breeds. Same thing. I might clip a longer bridle path to show how the neck is really archy and pretty, highlight some of those features. Other breeds do it differently, you know. Braiding, those are all things that get into what I call mean Chinese for someone who doesn't horse show. So hopefully that's not too long of an answer.
No, that's great. I have a story, actually. So I had this quarter horse mare, and when I first got her, I started her, and I thought, you know, she's lovely, and I bet I can get some spins on her, maybe some slides, and I can make her a reining horse. So thank goodness I had the wherewithal to find a local reining instructor, and I took her there. And he went ahead and put one of his college interns up on my mare, and she's loping her around because, you know, that's what they do a lot in reining, right? So loping this way, loping that way, doing all this stuff. And he goes, so you want to make this mare a reining mare, huh? And I said, I do. He goes, close your eyes a minute. So we're standing on the rail on the outside of the arena. I close my eyes, and he goes, listen to this horse go by. And I heard, like, very light, little loping, three-beat gait, very lovely. He goes, now keep your eyes closed. Now listen to this horse go by. And I heard, thud. So sad. And I opened my eyes, and he goes, the second one was your mare. And I said, I see. He goes, not light enough to be a reiner. Sorry, dear. I said, no problem. I won't be a reiner. Thanks. So you're absolutely right, right? You don't know what you don't know until you get into the specifics of the discipline, and then you get informed. And that was really well worth it. That money I spent that day, I could have spent all this money on show fees, right, and gone nowhere. So I just really appreciated him being honest with me.
Yeah, and I think, you know, for the most part, people are really honest. Just have to crack up because there's so many things, like you said, you don't know what you don't know. And I've done so many mistakes in learning how to show. You know, I remember getting a horse in training that was going to be in training for a trail horse. And at the time I was working for a gal, and she said, you know, just try to clip this horse up a little better and make it look nice. It'd been standing out in a pasture. So I came back with this horse, handed the horse back to the trainer, and she goes, this is like a halter clip. How long did it take you to clip this horse's face? And its whole body was covered in fur except its face, which was done with a 40. And its ears were perfectly clipped, and it had no hair on its face. Of course, it's, you know, dead of winter in Colorado. And I really thought I was going to get canned in that moment. But, you know, again, I think Arabian halter clip. I didn't think anything of it. So, you know, I do think that, you know, there's a lot of funny moments learning to show. The first horse show I really showed seriously, and I just bought this mare and spent all this money, you know. Just thought, well, I've spent enough money. Surely I should be able to win something. And my class was two little kids with two minis and me and this glorious mare. And, of course, the kids really knew what they were doing. They went on and they ran the class and stood their minis up, and I ran in thinking, this will be a no-brainer. I've got this one. And I ran the wrong way in the halter class. The mare wouldn't stand still. Both eight-year-olds beat me. I was dead last. And I said, well, that didn't go as well. So I really had no idea how to show halter, you know, how to make the horse stand up, or, you know, it was really a learning curve. And, you know, those are certainly the moments I like to highlight for people when I'm telling them, this is your first class. Here, let me tell you about mine. I think also creating, it does need to be a little bit humorous and fun for the kids. You know, we want to make it user-friendly. I think it helps for people to know that, you know, we're all starting at the same place when we're showing. You know, I started at a first show. It was a horrible experience. It was a very comical experience. But, you know, I just feel like we need to be, you know, somewhat humble about the show experience. You know, I never underestimate how scared or intimidating it can be. You're 8 or you're 55 and you just started riding again. So I always like to remind people that, you know, we're all starting in the same place. If you're only walking and jogging and you're doing good to get around the ring, then give yourself credit for that and build from there.
I think that's a good place to end, actually. And you know, everybody keeps asking if I'm going to be doing some driving showing here. And, you know, I'm like a lot of those people. I just don't have the competitive spirit there. But yet, you know, I've had little inklings now that I've seen that, you know, he's going to probably be good at cones and all this other stuff. And I'm going, oh, well, maybe. I never said before. So I get it. Well, Ashley, do you have a website where people can find you?
I do. It's www.frontrangeequestrians, all one word and plural, .com. And I'm at Double D Ranch up in Fort Lupton, which is a lovely, lovely, beautiful indoor facility here in Colorado. Lots of really seasoned lesson horses, so people can come out and give it a whirl.
I bet you the views are great, too, from where you are.
It's not bad. It's Colorado.
Yeah, exactly. And with a facility by the name of Front Range, you know that the views are good.
It faces a Waffle House, actually. No, I'm kidding.
Well, you can't get any better than that. FrontRangeEquestrians.com. Thank you, Ashley.
Thank you guys for having
Thanks,
me.
Thanks, Ashley.
I'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Waffle House is one of those places that you either love it or you never go to it ever. You know, there's people who love the Waffle House, and then there's people like Jennifer and I haven't been to one in like 40 years. So it's funny she said that. Well, that was terrific. That was a great conversation, and I was kind of relating a little bit to it because, you know, I just have these little inklings popping in now, which I never thought I'd have. So I'm listening very intently today to these conversations. Well, let's take a break for our song today. We're going to come back with another terrific guest and continue this conversation, of course, with Christy from the Certified Horsemanship Association. Let's do a little song by the name of Let's Ride, seems appropriate, by Jared Rogerson. We'll be right back.
So you want a guy who won't try to move too fast. Well, girl, it'd be a shame to take this slow. I've got an extra saddle and I know that you can handle the stallion waiting right down the road. We can run above hoofs and crash like thunder, fast as lightning flashing in our eyes. I think you know the spell, you got me under, let's ride. We can ride to the head of the canyon, from the desert bottom down below, to the aspen and the sage, to the pine trees in the shade, we'll hide. Baby, let's ride. I suppose I could be entertained just sitting here watching you, watching them just try to take you home. With all these guys surrounding you, like flies you ought to swat a few. You wanna be alone, let's go. We can run above hoofs and crash like thunder, fast as lightning flashing in our eyes. I think you know the spell, you got me under, let's ride. We can ride to the head of the canyon, from the desert blossom down below, aspen and the sage, to the pine trees in the shade, we'll hide. Baby, let's ride. It's the thrill of the adventure, takes your breath away. If you're caught up with emotion that you can't explain away, you can kiss me on the cheek and I will hold your hand. If it leads to something more, I will understand. Let's run above hoofs and crash like thunder, fast as lightning flashing in our eyes. I think you know the spell, you got me under, let's ride. We can ride to the head of the canyon, from the desert blossom down below, through the aspen and the sage, to the pine trees in the shade, we'll hide. Baby, let's ride.
And that was Jared Rogerson with Let's Ride. You can find all of Jared Rogerson's music at jaredrogerson.com, or you can just search for him on iTunes. Just search for Jared Rogerson. He has lots of terrific songs, and he also does a lot of dates throughout the Midwest playing concerts. You can find that on his website as well. You're listening to Horses in the Morning. I am Glenn the Geek here with you. We have Christy with us today from the Certified Horsemanship Association, and we're brought to you by the Certified Horsemanship Association and Real Time Equine. We also have Coach Jen in the producer chair. Don't forget that we'll be back live again tomorrow morning at 9 a.m. Jamie will be here, and of course we have the Celebrity Trivia Challenge tomorrow. That's what happens on every Wednesday show, so tune in then. Well, we are I'm taking a look here. I was just glancing around your website here, Christy, while we're waiting for our next guest to get set up. And you guys have so – I think one of the things we fail to mention is how much good information is on your website in general.
Oh, well, thank you, Glenn. Yeah, we have a really active page in regards to videos for people to be able to use for staff training or for themselves. We also have a lot of information on there with articles that we pull out from our membership magazine that we do. And so there's a lot of good teaching techniques for people that are instructors, or tips for riders. We do a pet peeves around the barn and solutions to solve them. So things that irritate us as horse people that maybe people do at a boarding barn, and how we can help ourselves with those things, with the solutions to solve them. One of them I'll go ahead and bring up is quick release snaps. those should actually be on either side of your cross tie when you're cross tying your horse. So attached to the halter and also attached to the wall, but if you only have one, put it on the wall and not on the horse. And the reason for that,
right,
if your horse is truly panicking in the cross ties, right, you got to have a lead rope, right, so you can take it off the wall and then you have a lead rope and you can get the horse undone. But, yeah, we would love for any listeners to go on there at any time and utilize our page in any way you'd like.
Very good. Well, I think that our next guest is ready.
Well, great. This is Carla Winberg, and let me tell you about Carla. She is with St. Andrews University in North Carolina currently. She is an active American Quarter Horse Association judge and an Intercollegiate Horse Show Association coach. She's also a master instructor with us and a clinician for CHA as well. And before I put her on, I have a really brief story about her, and I know she's listening, so I'm going to make her face red right now. She got certified with us about a year ago, and she was certifying for some higher levels. And, you know, we normally do, like, one lesson at a time. We have this 15-minute structure, you know, to get all the lessons done, and you can fast forward, you know, if you have a bunch of people jumping, let's say you only have to jump a couple of them because we certify group riding. We said, all right, Carla, here's what you're going to do. You're going to do leg yielding, flying lead changes, and turns to fences all in 15 minutes with all these riders that you have up. Ready, set, go. And she went, excellent. And she goes out there and just gets it done. Oh, it was incredible. So, Carla, welcome to the show today. How are you?
Thank you, Christy. That was very sweet of you. But, you know, in my life here at the college, we have to adjust very quickly. So. It was fun to do.
She had no problem at all with being on the spot at all, which is probably why she's a really good judge and a really good coach. But we were chatting earlier, Carla, with Ashley, just about some things in regards to turning your kind of recreational riding horse and starting to do more showing with him or her. And I guess the big thing that I want to talk to you about is how do we start actually training for the different disciplines? What specific exercises should we be doing at home to not only do well when we're on top of the horse or on the ground if we're halter or showmanship, but also to get them used to the other horses that they're going to see at the horse show, so socialization, those types of things. What would you like to share with us today about that?
Wow, that's a big question. I'm going to try to address different parts of it. Training for different disciplines is a lifelong conversation, obviously, because the fun thing about riding horses is it's ever-changing, and depending on the horse and the person and the personalities together is how you will do different exercises and socialization, because I find from judging people, I'm kind of a trained observer because of judging, and then from coaching the same, is personality of horse and rider really affect each other in different ways. So if you want to talk about socialization a little bit, I think you have to do it in small doses. And depending on the person's personality, they can create a lot of anxiety in the horse. So to me, you got to keep it simple. So if you're creating socialization with a horse, you have to add one thing at a time to them to not overload their brain. So to me, if you're starting to create the positive energy in a horse, you want to do things in a relaxed way. So if you're going to take them to a horse show for the first time, try to go to a small show, one horse in the arena, and then another horse. Don't always ride in the same direction. Try to make things simple for the horse and in a relaxed, positive way. Start with a relaxed walk, end with a relaxed walk. Kind of have a buddy system. Maybe take one horse with you, a friend with you, and ride together just so the horse has a balance of, okay, I have a friend here with me and I know them and I'm going to be with them as my friend. I'm going to look around. I'm going to be a little bit nervous, but I already have somebody with me, so I have that positiveness. You know, there's a lot of things horses do that you have to act and react to, and so you will always want to start them out, you know, when you bring them to a different environment, and let them see things and feel things and smell things, that you have to keep always them maybe moving their legs, always keep them walking, keep them getting that extra energy out, things that will create that positiveness until they relax, just like people when they get anxious or have anxiety. So
absolutely.
That's what I would start.
And what do you think, I think you're absolutely right, Carla. And I think, you know, for me, let me tell you where my anxiety comes from, is when I first started doing the showing thing years ago now, terminology. What is the difference between showmanship and horsemanship? They sound the same to me. You know what I'm saying? And so what is all of those things? So if you could explain some of that terminology to our listeners, that would be great.
Absolutely. The showmanship is, we consider that a showing at halter class. So showmanship is, in the horse show arena, is creating this partnership with your horse, almost like dog obedience. I hate to put it that way, but it is simply that way. The horse and the handler walk together, stop, the horse sets up. It's all basic training of getting that horse to respect you and you to respect the horse and to kind of work in a unison. But it is judged in the arena on walking and trotting together, stopping, backing up, doing things where it's, the horse is obedient to the handler. So showmanship is judged on that first, and of course we have hundreds of patterns to do, so we can watch you do pattern work with your horse, and then of course you dress up for it, and the horse has got to be cleaned and clipped and readied. So that's really what the showmanship at halter class is, and showing at halter, of course, is judging conformation of the horse, not so much the handler, but doing the showmanship teaches a handler how to get the horse more trained for setting their legs up and being presentable for the conformation class. Horsemanship is more based on the rider and their seat and aids and the correctness of that and the unison with their horse. Being a great horsemanship rider is probably the basis of everything we do, because to be a balanced rider is the first thing you have to be with your horse to do any other event. So I think the horsemanship class and horsemanship is most important to get correct first, because it is about correct position, seat, leg, aids, and all that that goes with it, and creating that balance with your horse at the walk, the jog, the lope, the walk, the trot, the canter, whatever. So it is very different. Riding is the horsemanship. Showmanship, halter is on the ground leading the animal. So that's the difference in that.
So if I have a horse and I've determined, let's say, by doing what Ashley said and going to some local professionals and finding out maybe my horse is going to be better in the English hunter world, or maybe my horse is going to be better in the Western pleasure world, what are some exercises that I can start doing at home while I'm riding and working with my horse to prepare for the show ring?
Well, you know, exercises are what you just said in Western or hunter seat, or even if you wanted to start out in dressage. It's all really learning the basics of balance. So exercises that I like to start with, obviously, and you would start at the walk and then go to the trot or the jog or the canter or the lope. So the things I like to do is learn to ride the body of the horse first. Learn to move the body of the horse in an exercise which we call lateral, which is moving the horse from side to side. I call it spirals, from a walk, a jog, or a lope, and it teaches the horse from your leg aids to move away from the leg aids, which we call leg yielding, and we can start on a circle at the walk, and for example, if you're tracking to the left, you would use your inside leg, your left leg, to push the horse's rib cage to the right, and when you move the horse laterally with your leg aids, and your seat is driving them to keep them moving forwards, the horse will bend through the body, and then you can supple the mouth with your inside rein and steady the horse with your outside rein. If you're riding with one hand, you would just balance the horse from the shoulder forward straight. So I think a balancing exercise of spirals at the walk, jog, or lope first will, A, have the horse going forwards on a circle. Secondly, the horse moving sideways from your leg aids, and you can spiral out and then spiral back in, and that teaches the horse to balance themselves moving forward sideways into a longer step, and then moving in on the circle would balance the horse not only laterally moving away from the outside leg aid, but also will collect the horse because they have to somewhat shorten the step by balancing to their hind legs. So that's a great exercise that creates a lot of balance in the rider and the horse very quickly. And then the next thing I think about is creating pace, and you can do this on a straight line or a curved line, and that's creating the pace of your horse in a lengthened stride or shortened stride, because you have to teach the horse to go forwards longer and to bring the horse back to collect and go shorter. So, again, it's about teaching the horse to stretch out and then to come back and collect. And then lastly, when you start to master those things together, then I think of transitional work. How do I go from one gate to the next? And you can mix this up in a lot of different ways, going from a jog to a walk to a jog, from a jog to a lope to a jog, from a jog to a stop to a jog, from a lope to a stop to a lope, and mix it all up. And this teaches the horse not only to listen to your aids and cues more correctly, but it also teaches them more balance, because they got to go forwards and then they have to come back. And they have to go forward more in the lope, for example, to the jog and come back. They have to pick themselves up, carry themselves, and by doing multiple transitions, the horse learns quite a lot of balance very quickly.
That's great. So just to recap, I wrote it down because I love making a list, and I love that. Work on balance, pace, and transitions. And those are three huge things. Yeah. So I just thank you for those.
And that's, and so, that's a conversation you'll have with yourself for life if you're a rider, because it's, you have to do it on every horse in every different way and in every discipline.
Absolutely. I know I get asked this question a lot, so talking about a transition, we'll transition into our next little chat here. As an instructor, I teach a lot of the English riding, and I do some Western as well, and in the English world, a lot of my students, especially my parents of my kids, my youth children, probably more than the youth themselves, want to jump. And so the parents are always asking me, when can the kids jump? When can the student jump? And so I have come up with my own kind of mantra in order to determine when that child is ready to jump. And I would love to hear this just in a second after I tell my story from your perspective, Carla, on the horse.
Okay.
But what I say is you can jump when you can walk, trot, and canter on any school horse I put you on with and without your stirrup. Because the reality is you're probably going to lose one stirrup or both sometimes, you know, when you're riding on the flat, or and especially
right.
when you start learning how to jump. And the reality is that what you can do on Dandy, you might not necessarily be able to do on Thunder, right? So
absolutely.
Any horse I put you on kind of is the key for me. And then the parents go, oh, I get it. Okay. And then they have a little bit more patience. So what are your thoughts on that?
You know, yeah, and I the thing that people don't understand is when people learn to jump, the jump, and if you do it out in the field or if you do it in an arena, the jump is merely in the way of your gait. So a person that really wants to do and be good over fences must be excellent on the flat work. And so just what you said, they must be able to understand collection and balance and going forward and have a steady position and be able to keep their upper body still and balanced because of their lower leg is stretched down and holding. They have to have all those basics in their flat work before they ever should be able to trot over a pole or canter over or trot over a cross rail, because their balance affects the horse so much. So for me, if I put them on several different school horses and they don't keep having that same balance, we have to still go back to all the flat work, understanding how to lengthen and shorten and keep your body still from your hips up and keep your lower leg attached and all those things that make a big difference to the animal as they have to lift themselves off the ground. A lot of work on the ground with not only the flat work, but also trotting poles, cantering poles, understanding balance and rhythm, balance, rhythm, balance, rhythm. And that's something that you work on all your life with every horse. So all of those things are huge basics before you ever should leap over anything, because if you land on their neck or land on their loin, on their back, you're going to affect that horse mentally in a lot of different ways. If you grab them in the mouth, the things you do on their back affects them mentally, and they won't want to do they won't want to jump over that fence if you affect them negatively. So it needs to be, trust has to be a must for me. They have to be able to trust and feel, both the horse and the rider have got to have that confidence together before I would ever let them do anything that leaps off the ground.
So what are some different exercises, Carla, that you think if I feel that I had a horse that would be a pretty good jumper, and I myself, let's say, have jumped in the past, but my horse, I don't know if he or she ever has, what are some ways to start working on that and seeing if that might be something that the horse would enjoy and be good at?
Yeah, absolutely. The things that I think about first is, again, keeping it simple. If I don't know your horse and I don't know what it knows, I'm going to keep it simple. So first we're going to walk some poles and make sure it's comfortable, and it might be one pole, and then I might add two poles to it and just kind of see how they accept that. Then I'll go to trot poles, and, again, might start with one trot pole on a circle, two trot poles on a circle. Then I might put those poles together at 3.5-4 feet apart, depending on the stride of the horse. So you find that rhythm in trotting over poles, and then if the horse seems confident to that, whether it's a straight line or a curved line, I might say, okay, we'll pick up the canter. We're going to canter a single pole. Your balance to the pole, over the pole, and past the pole, and kind of see if you understand rhythm and balance there. Then I might add two poles together, 9.5 to 10 feet apart, depending on your horse's length of stride. And again, in a balanced canter, not in a gallop, have you canter through two poles, and then maybe add another pole and just see if you find the balance to that. And then maybe have four poles on a circle at different quarters of the circle and let you canter around that circle in striding. So you tell me, okay, as large as a circle is, can you get six strides between these two poles or five strides between these two poles? Is your strides even on your circle? All of those basics is what you must have prior to ever jumping multiple fences. So those are some exercises I would do for a long time before I would ever really let you you jump a cross rail, because I want to see that you understand first the basics and how important the basics are.
And I'm going to ask you now a question based on you as a judge, because that's a very different perspective for a lot of people, because not all of us, you know, have made it to the echelons of being able to judge, and especially all the different cards that you hold, Carla. So
yeah.
I guess my question in that regard is, sometimes I'll watch a class, and let's say there's 15 out there, and let's say they're doing, you know, Hunter Pleasure. They all look the same. Their diagonals are flawless. Their leads are flawless. They're all in the black hunt coats and the beige breeches, and I think, oh, my goodness, how is this judge actually placing this class? So what are some nuances that you look for, especially when all of the riders seem to be at the same level in a certain class?
In excellence. Yeah, you know, it goes back, again, if we're judging a hunter under saddle or a movement class, I'm going to be judging, obviously, the gait. So first is cadence and rhythm of the gait, the walk, the trot, the canter, the walk, the jog, the lope, whatever it is cadence and rhythm of that gait is first. Length of stride and how the horse tracks up behind and uses their hind legs and hocks. All of those things in every gait make a huge difference. Transitions throughout the class show me how trained the horse is. Are they balanced in their top line? Are they balanced in their self-carriage? Are they soft and steady in their mouth? Do they listen to the A's and Q's of the rider right away? All of those things come into play. So, And then for me, as a judge, expression of the horse is everything. And it goes along with the correct training. Does the horse, does he kind of like his job? Does he have a personality? I want to see a horse enjoy being out there doing, enjoying their partner, enjoying what they're doing. And that sounds kind of silly sometimes, but it's very true when you get to the very good competitions, because those horses just stick out. They're beautiful. They have their ears up. They're into their job. You can tell they like their partner. There's just so many good things and positive energy in what we see. The movement, the balance, the cadence, the rhythm, the transitions, and the expression all come into play. And then you sort mentally through that. You know, there's subjectivity to it, of course, because I might like this a little bit more than you. But still, the criteria of the class, the balance and rhythm of the gates, the transition for the training of the horse all come into play.
Okay, but do you look at it, you see them all going, and you look at it and you go, I really like that one. See, the problem I would have is by the time I turn around and look the other direction, I would have forgotten which one I liked.
Well,
see, that's,
you know,
the problem.
It starts out to be a problem when you start judging, because experience really does help. And what you do is you work mentally on your skills of remembering. And for some reason, I have a lot of skill with that and probably have trained that skill over the years. I've been judging 28 years now, and I can watch horses. I remember color. I remember numbers. I remember things about the horses right away. So my memory skills help me do that, too. So,
it would have to, because it looks just it's difficult.
Yeah, it's crazy. But, you know, it's, again, part of your experience and training that you just get used to doing. So,
I mean, it's different in dressage or one of those where the judges are looking at one horse at a time and you're writing it down as you go, so you're done with that horse and you move on. It's much different with what you do.
Yeah, it, because we're sorting and comparing, you know.
Right.
And of course, when we're judging and working, mainly, let's say we have a group of 20 coming in, and in the first way of the ring, I've got it sorted to upper group, middle group, lower group, and lower group because of, you know, poor movement or break of gait or whatever they do.
So you can tell that the minute it starts.
You can tell it after you, well, the minute you start, you can start to see quality, you know, when you go to from one gate to the next gate, and then you start sorting, you know, top, middle, bottom.
Hmm.
Yeah. Anyway, I'm making it sound simple, but
and I'll tell you more, Carla, for those that are listening who really want to learn how to judge, let's say, what are some things that they might start to do? You know, let's say they get bit by the show bug so bad, they've taken their horse now to shows and competed, they're really excited, now they want to actually do the judging. What are some steps for those folks listening?
Well, you know, probably the best thing we've done, I know in our association, the American Quarter Horse Association, we have great DVDs on the different classes, everything from the Western Pleasure to the Trail to the Western Riding, different events. We have DVDs that you can get that really go through the judging process. And there's some really good ones that it really have a great explanation behind every part of it. And I think those are good teaching tools. I think the other thing is if you're young and interested in, for example, if you're in college, we have judging teams that compete intercollegiately. And also 4-H, there's judging teams that compete. And that's a great way of teaching being taught critical thinking and sorting and organizing your thought process and learning how to, you know, make decisions this way on different groups of classes. So if you're an older person coming into this world, I think the DVDs are a great way to learn the judging process. And if you're a younger person coming up, 4-H, FFA, you know, does the judging contest as well as collegiately. There's a lot of colleges that have great judging programs and judging contests between the colleges intercollegiately. So it's a good way to learn. And all the breeds, you know, I know the Arabian horses do, the Morgan horses, quarter horses. You know, there's many breeds specific that do have great DVDs on their different classes. So it's a great way to get into it.
So you know what might be good, Glenn, since you want to start doing the driving competitions, maybe you can find out through the Driving Association what the DVDs are for the judge, and then you can get that even though you just want to compete and find out all you need to know.
I know.
Exactly.
I can get an inside scoop. Now you're making me sound like I have to be competitive, too. See, that's the thing. That's the,
or
look
you
at that
can just
too.
Go out and have fun with your driving and just go across
that's what
the
I think.
Side.
That's what I think. Well,
absolutely.
Thank you so much for joining us. We really appreciate it. We've run out of time. Carlo, do you have a website?
St. Andrews University Equestrian. And I, you know, I have a great college down here in little old North Carolina, and I hope everybody can come by and visit sometime. And if you want to come, I can take you up to one of the best driving places in the country, which is Southern Pines, 30 miles north of here. We winter a lot of the equestrian people that do driving very seriously and for fun. So I'd be glad to take you for a little tour.
I've actually driven a CDE horse through that big park that's there in Southern Pines.
Yeah,
the
Carolina Horse Park.
No. There's a big forest or something there in Southern Pines.
Oh, yeah, our foundation, 7,000 acres.
Yes. I've driven a horse through there, and it is just beautiful. It is really beautiful.
Yeah. We're kind of spoiled. We really love it.
Well, thank you so much,
Carla. You know where I live,
then.
Yeah, you bet.
Well,
I really enjoyed it.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thanks, Carla. Bye-bye.
It is beautiful there. I mean, Southern Pines is beautiful, but that park especially is just, it was a joy to drive through. It was really neat.
I was lucky. I got to actually go to St. Andrews and see Carla in action teaching and visit the whole entire university, and it was just a fabulous place. They have a whole therapeutic riding barn and horses on one aspect of their acreage, and then they have the intercollegiate horse showing where they do the jumping and the western and the reining and things. It's quite phenomenal.
And I still don't know how those judges do it. I mean, because I couldn't look 20 horses and remember by the end of the class which ones I like, you know, put them in all of order and everything. I couldn't do it.
So impressive. So impressive.
Well, now I was just looking at the CHA website before we wrap up here, and I was looking at the clinics by date, and there's just way too many to go over. You're in the heart of clinic season now. So I would just tell everybody, Google Certified Horsemanship Association, go on the website and go to clinics by date, or you can do clinics by location too, which is really nice. And you can see the clinics that are coming up and everything that's going on, and and May and June just is a ton of them.
We're really busy in May and June. Everyone wants to get certified prior to the busy summer season. But I'll tell you, for those of you that are interested in just thinking about it, don't actually attend a clinic your first time out. Come and audit. Come and spend one day checking it out, or a couple of days if you have time, and see what it's all about. You will get so much knowledge on the process and hear the other people evaluate one another, so you'll know what's liked and what needs some little bit of work in different lessons, and that'll be a great place to start.
Very good. That's all happening at the Certified Horsemanship Association. Well, thank you so much, Christy, for joining us again. Believe it or not, the hour and a half is up already. And we do appreciate you joining us here every month. We, of course, at Horses in the Morning are here every Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. Eastern Time, having a little fun. So you can join us every morning chatting about horses and all kinds of things. Tomorrow morning we'll be back here. We usually have our European report coming to us from Horse and Country TV, and also our Celebrity Trivia Challenge. And I haven't nailed down the celebrity yet. I'm trying to get that confirmed today. So as soon as we know, we'll post it on our Facebook page. I'm having a little trouble nailing this one down. I had one lined up, and she had to postpone until next week. So hopefully we'll get it all sorted out in the next hour or so. So keep in touch with our Facebook page at Horses in the Morning. And I think we just tell people what's the easiest way for them to find your website?
You know, the easiest way is chainstructorsplural.com, and that's actually our online database of instructors and stables, and then from there they can see how to get certified and do everything else.
chainstructors.com. And don't forget, we have an app. It's the easiest way to listen to the show. Just go to iOS or Android App Store on your smartphone and search for Horse Radio Network. All 11 of our shows are on that app. You can stream them. You can download them. It just makes it very, very simple. Listen to them anytime, anywhere. And we estimate that about 50% of our people listen while they're cleaning stalls. So if you find that job boring, and who doesn't, then take a listen to our shows and it'll fly by. Thank you, Christy.
Thank you, Glenn. Talk to you soon.
All right. We'll see you, everybody. Wear your helmet. Be safe.